Thank God for that.
So today we've got a bit of a special guest, or two guests actually. We've got Richard and Jazz from the Bring in Battle Wargaming YouTube channel. So guys, thanks very much for joining us.
You're more than welcome, mate. I don't know why, but everybody calls Jason Jazz.
Yeah.
Unless you've got your jazz hands, I don't know. It's Jason, mate, or Jace.
Jace, right, okay. I thought it was Jazz. Sorry, Jason, I apologize.
Yeah, sorry.
I'm infamous for mucking up your name. Like, mate, don't, you know, for names, I'm just terrible with them. Terrible remembering them, terrible with saying them. It's like I can remember my own name, actually. I'll probably forget that at some point.
Or, my bad.
Yeah. Of course, I call myself Jazz. How's that? Oh, I'm Jazz.
I love you, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, thanks for joining us, guys. I know you played a big game of 40K second edition over in the club there, in the clubhouse, and now it's what time is it over there now?
It's 10 past 12, midnight.
Right, okay, so it's getting, it's in the early morning.
Late, but
it's to be fair, just gone, what, quarter past nine now here, so yeah.
Oh, that's right.
But
just getting up, isn't he?
Yeah.
But you can thank Dr. the Viking for getting you guys on, because he said, Josh, you got to get these guys on the podcast and talk to these guys. And I said, okay, I'll reach out to Richard and Jason and see if we can align the stars and get our times and all that kind of thing sorted out. So please thank the doctor for making this happen.
Right, I'm not going to do the Doctor Who joke, but I'm quite literally going to go, Doctor
well,
Who?
Yeah. Mate, don't worry about it. He's anonymous online. So basically he goes by all these kind of different aliases,
okay,
or names
well,
online.
Kind of. Well, but well, thank you, Doctor.
He's one of your biggest fans, mate. He's one of your biggest fans. So,
Oh, wow.
So you don't know him, Doc?
I don't know. Right. he was our biggest fan.
But he goes under various different names online, and Dr. the Viking is probably the one that people recognize the most, because he does the Cowabunga 40K painting challenge, it's in its like third season now, I think.
I had a guy with the Cowabunga image on his Facebook page.
That's it. That's him. Yeah, that's
become a friend. A friend. Yeah.
Right.
Oh, well, sorry, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, bloody.
You should know him. He's bloody famous, mate. You know, he's famous in the community. I can take it that you're not really good at technology, but you should know your fans, mate. Come on.
Oh, yeah, great there, didn't he?
Well, but then again, it doesn't matter.
You can't work out a Bluetooth.
We don't even know who he is. He's just a guy online that I speak to sometime in Discord but I've had many chats with the doctor, and I think he is actually a doctor in real life.
Oh, is he really? Oh,
yeah,
wow.
I think he's a professor or something like that, I believe. But then again, it's just a mystery. He's a mystery man, so we don't know much about it. He just produces these amazing battle reports on his Cowabunga blog, and he does the painting challenge for a lot of people. So yeah, he's embracing the second edition 40K retro hobby. So and you guys do the same, because you guys produce some really amazing battle reports that I think most people know about, but if they don't, then they should go and check you guys out, because
yeah, but you saying that, mate. I mean, I've watched all your second edition stuff, and they've been really good. I mean, and your terrain is great. And I've got to say, I'm going to get it in now. Your orcs look amazing.
Oh, thank you very much, Richard. That's very
your Bad Moon orcs with those banners are just, oh man, it just screams second edition, and they're so well painted as well.
Thank you very much.
That's what we don't do. That's all we don't do.
I was going to say, I just sent Kev Adams, the original designer of those miniatures, I sent him a picture of my orcs and sent him like it, because we always, you know, correspond through email and that kind of thing. And just going to check up on him, because I haven't actually got in touch with him for about 12, about 6 or 7 months or something like that. Quite a long time. I think it feels like 12 months, I think, the last time we corresponded about something. So, and he sent
and
me
this
some
is
really
Kev
nice.
Adams, the Goblin King.
So, yeah, the Goblin King.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. He's a great guy, really generous with his time and that kind of stuff with communicating with me anyway, and sent me like tons of photos of new stuff that's coming out. which I cannot share, but it's very kind of him that he's I can't share the photos. I've given snippets of spoilers on our Discord chat that things are coming along the pipeline that they'll be excited about. But if you like the 40K Gretchen that I did for my army through Nightmare Games, well, there'll be a slew of new designs coming out for that.
Oh, wow.
Which I saw this morning, which looked really cool. And some goblins for fantasy battle and that kind of thing as well. So
cool that he's still producing then. That's really good.
Mate, doing so much stuff. Go and check out Nightmare Games, because Nightmare Games basically the main company that sort of commissioning him to do a whole stack of designs for 40K and fantasy.
Wow. So, that's really good though.
That means more money, more work's going.
More money, you gotta work harder, ain't you?
But various Kickstarters come out through the year that, well, at least two a year maybe of his stuff, exclusively, basically. So if you look on Facebook at Space Raiders, Space Raiders, I'll put links in the show notes, guys, that you can go out. Cool. And check out Nightmare Games. It's a Spanish company that Diego, mate of mine, runs. And I've been promoting his stuff.
He was amazing when I was growing up and getting White Dwarfs of that. I mean, as far as you were concerned, Kev Adams was the Goblin Orc guy, and his models were amazing. I'm really, really chuffed that he's still going.
Yeah, mate, he's still going. Oh, he's like, what, he must be in his 60s now, I think. Yeah, I think he's getting close to retirement because he's doing a lot of renovations on his home, and I think he's getting to the stage where he's probably going to finish up in a few years or something like that. But you know, grab the designs while Kev's still out doing work, because I think at some point he's going to put his he's probably made enough money or whatever, he can comfortably retire or something. So good on him.
Because we were lucky enough, Jace, a couple of years ago won an event to go to Warhammer World.
Oh yeah.
And it was great. We walked around the corner and I met Jez Goodwin, father of the Eldar. And I was talking to him and I told him I still use the original Eldar Warwalker model, and he was well chuffed with that. And I said, I better go now, because obviously I don't want to take up all your time. And he just turned around and said, well, no one else is wanting to talk to me. And we and we talked for ages with him.
Until he got ushered away.
we had to get shifted along to carry on with the tour. But he was amazing. I couldn't have wished for more to be able to meet that guy. And he just talked, and he was really excited by the fact that I was still using old models. Yeah,
pretty friendly guy.
Oh, yeah, amazingly friendly guy.
Yeah.
Really stoked to have met him.
That's great. But guys, tell us about yourselves. Like, how did you guys get into wargaming and the hobby and that kind of thing initially?
What, individualist?
Yeah, so maybe Jason, would you like to start, Jason, with how you got into the hobby?
I'm going to drink my cup of tea. Cheers, Josh.
I must have been about 8. We went round to my friend's house, and his older brother had Dungeons and Dragons models, and we basically saw those and it was like, oh. Of course, when his older brother went out, we would raid his stash of models and then make up our own game. And then as I got older, we just went and bought the Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay book, what literally had every single race in it, and then we basically built up armies and then got the Warhammer Fantasy Army box sets. And I started off with dwarfs and fantasy, then 40K came out. I started dabbling in with bits and pieces of that, and it just built on and on and on until basically now I've just got so many models I don't know what to do with. Well, I do, but I've got a paint ball yet. Yeah, so I started when I was about 8 or 9, basically going around to my friend's house. And he's, like I say, his older brother had them, and we just were nicking those and playing with them while he wasn't there, because he would have given us the right clout else. But yeah, no, that's fair. But it really, I mean, then I went to Games Workshop on the, every Thursday night, released a gaming night, met some more people in there. That's how I met Rich. That was quite a few years ago.
Wow, about 23 years ago.
It's got to be 23 years ago. And played ever since, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, that's pretty much it. Well, I think we've got nearly every army under the sun apart from Tau. Yeah.
No one likes Tau.
But no, that's how I got started.
Nice. So you like when you talk about like the role play edition, you're talking about like first edition, then you got into like third edition Warhammer and Rogue Trader?
I didn't play the Rogue Trader as much. I played the second edition 40K, but the Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay, basically a big old book, was Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay. Mm. And then from there, they went, we was just like, as kids, you just went and got more and more models.
Yeah.
And they brought out the battle version for it, you know, when you the big armies. And I started with dwarves and just started building those up slowly. I think my mates had wood elves. And that, and I can't remember what it was called. I know it was Fantasy Battle, was one of the box sets, was Plastic Elves and Plastic Goblins, I think.
Oh, that was fourth.
Was it fourth edition?
Yeah. Classic box
yeah.
Set, nice.
Yeah, it was basically with that. And just from then on, it was just every time they brought a new book out or box set, kind of got it. Then got the original Space Marine. They bought Titanicus, the other one was Titanicus, but I didn't get that one, but I got this Space Marine, the Epic.
Yep.
And that was quite a popular game we had, playing with that. Yeah. But yeah, it's just got more and bigger and more, to be honest. And say nearly every box set of game they came out, I ended up getting it just to get more and more models. But yeah, it was... Yeah, it was a long time ago, so I can't remember much.
Chill, mate.
Yeah. But, there's been so many editions of from then and now. It's a bit blurry, especially with the fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
But
was it Galdrin? Yeah, it was eight. And then it went Age of Sigmar.
I can't remember.
You do fantasy build, you're often, yeah.
Yeah, I do fantasy, yeah.
But what was the last edition before it went to Age of Sigmar? What edition was that?
Eighth edition.
Oh, was eighth?
Yeah.
Wow.
Which we will not speak about on this podcast.
Okay. you can flip that out.
No, just joking. No, but I actually played a couple of games of eighth edition, and it just wasn't my like. I came back into fantasy playing at eighth edition after a long hiatus out of the Games Workshop gaming thing. And came back into with 8th edition thinking, oh, it'd be cool to get back into fantasy again after all these years, and it just wasn't my edition. And I don't know why I stopped playing all the Hero Hammer editions. I could have just went back and played 5th edition and found somebody to do it with me. But it didn't. It took a lot longer after that until I came back to it. But I think 8th edition was the last one. Then they brought out, then they blew up the old world, and then they had a fan-based creation of 9th Age, which is still kicking around, and then Age of Sigmar came along. Do you guys play Age of Sigmar at all?
No.
So
hang on, the Ninth Age, that's just fan-based then?
Yeah, that's fan-based, mate, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's kind of like the, is it the ITC, International Tournament Committee, or whatever it is? Basically, there's some kind of, I think the guys who like to play fantasy competitively design their own sort of rules based on, you know, making the lists more balanced and all that kind of stuff. I've never played it. I've just seen this black and white, 900 page manifesto brought to our games club one day, and I thought, there's no way I'm playing that.
God, no.
No way.
No, definitely not.
Sorry. Yeah, it's not my cup of tea. But yeah, look, it's pretty popular with people who like to play that kind of style of fantasy. But But there you go. But Richard, how about you, mate? How'd you get started? Well, I suppose it's a very similar story to Jason, then, eh?
Well, I've always played with toy soldiers ever since I was a little kid. And I remember getting a very small vinyl fold-out battlefield with plastic toy soldiers and burnt-out trees and all that sort of stuff. And I played it to death over Christmas. And then I think, like Jason, I went down the Dungeons & Dragons route, joined a group at school, played Dungeons and Dragons, ended up becoming a dungeon master. And one of my school reports said, if Richard concentrated more on his schoolwork than Dungeons and Dragons, he'd do a lot better. And as you can tell, Mother was not pleased. So I got banned from playing Dungeons & Dragons for nearly a whole term.
Oh, wow.
Didn't help, no. And then I went into Phantom Battle. I used to cast my own models from Prince August, and that was great, 25 mil and molten lead. Always good to do that. So we used to make massive armies, never painted them, mounted them on cardboard, played, what was it, the second edition, I think, a little box set for Warhammer Fantasy Battle. You had three little rule books in it.
Yeah.
And the Magnificent Sven or something. Did you ever play that one? It was like they were on a boat, seven characters. And they had that was quite good. And Terror of the Lich King or something?
Yeah.
Do you remember? It was the Terror of the Lich King or something, wasn't it?
So then, Leech Master or Leech?
That's it.
Leech Master, and I then, think. Yeah.
And then from there, we went into third edition fantasy with the hardback books, with the level 5, 10, 15 heroes.
Yeah.
Continued around with fourth, but at the same time, fourth fantasy come out. Rogue, at that time, we had been playing Rogue Trader as well. And then I think I'm getting my timelines mixed up here. And then second edition, played a lot of second edition. Oddly enough, didn't even know Jace, never played second edition with Jace. It was, went to Games Workshop to buy third edition. And Jace was in the queue. We just ended up got chatting. Then we ended up meeting at the gaming clubs. Oddly enough, people would always end up watching our games for some bizarre reason. So maybe that was portent.
That's because I backed a tank up against the wall.
So I couldn't attack the rear of it, so I couldn't win the game for my Gene Stealers. And everybody was laughing. I wasn't, obviously. And then fantasy went out the window, never played it since, and just carried on with every edition of 40K after that. Yeah, been good. But the dad thing, with a group of friends we used to play with that years ago, if you had an army, that was your army. You didn't spread into other armies. You couldn't, like, if Jace had an Imperial Guard army, then none of us were collected. So we all had a different army. So we all never had the same army fighting off against each other.
Yeah.
But then Jace and I started the channel, and it's really exciting to be able to think, well, I can do different armies now.
Yeah.
So we're slowly building a Chaos army. I've got some models I've got put together for a Chaos army, an Imperial Guard army, Space Marine army. I'm going to slowly, I'm dreading it, going to do a full-on Harlequin army, but I think my painting skills are never going to be up to match for that. But yeah, Harlequin army is going to come at one point. But yeah, so that's really it. Down the fantasy route into the sci-fi route. I mean, I think you probably played it as well. Did you ever do those fighting fantasy books, Choose Your Own Adventure?
Yeah, some of them, yeah.
Yeah, they were good.
Yeah.
Good. So yeah, this is very fantasy orientated until we went into the sci-fi. And that's really it. In a sense.
Yeah, because you never played Gawk and Walker or Necma, did you?
No. Didn't really see the appeal of them.
No, they were good fun games.
But then you had Space Hulk.
Yeah.
Space Hulk was a good map. Until they kept bringing out the expansion pack with the Deathwing and the, what was it, the Gene Stealer, the Cult, whatever. That ruined it.
I remember the other one.
Sorry, mate.
Please carry on. I'm enjoying it, because that's one of the good things about your channel is that it's very, I like the style and format that you guys present in your videos, but it has that sort of beginning of the, before we even get to the game, it's like you guys are sitting down just chatting about, naturally about, you know, the list that you brought and why you brought them, what mission you're playing and that kind of thing, and then you have like a post-battle kind of chat as well. But it's always nice to hear those spontaneous moments during the battle when something happens and you guys are laughing and just having fun and just enjoying, you know, just doing it naturally. It's not kind of like, it's not rehearsed or anything like that. It's all very spontaneous and fun. So that's one of the... Yeah.
Don't even go there tonight, mate, because we've just finished a special battle report. I know I mentioned to you on when we were chatting on Messenger.
Yeah.
The Git rolls 3 sixes for his armor penetration on my demolisher tank, and he rolled 3 sixes plus the strength of the weapon. I could not believe it. I mean, that was spontaneous, because even though I thought that's my tank gone, we're both laughing our heads off.
Yeah.
that's the way we kind of film it. It's like, and we said on one of our vids that it's like you go around to these conventions, you might watch a game for a little bit and then move on. You're kind of, in a sense, looking over our shoulders, just watching the game. Because whether we were filming or not, this is how we would be.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no planning. I mean, you say you like our style. Our style is winging it. And it's a case of, generally, if we weren't filming, it's exactly how it would play out. We don't, there's no air for grace in this. I suppose, in a sense, it's quite authentic. But that's just us.
Yeah.
Goofing around. It's two blokes goofing around, and you have to watch it. It's a window into the way we game.
Too lazy to make an admission up. We just make up as we go along.
Sometimes.
Yeah. But it's also good that you guys have been gaming for such a long time. You guys are stuck together for such a long time, like since you guys met at the Games Workshop store, and you're still gaming, which is awesome. It's a great story.
It is genuinely 22 years ago, because someone posted on the Outdoor Forum, they're doing a Games Workshop, doing an advent calendar thing, and scatter lasers are now 6-shot standard. Well, they used to be in second edition, so it's been 23 years to get back to 6 shots on a scatter laser. Mental.
Yeah, because we were both in the queue buying the same. No, he's bought
by the rule book.
Yeah, by the rule books. Yeah.
I was fuming, man. I was fuming. Scatter laser. This shuriken catapults went down to 12 inches. I still spit sparks all of that one now. I mean, I don't hold a grudge, but it's been 23 years, man, and we got the shortest basic weapon going.
Win.
Yeah, it is win. I will moan about that till the day I die. Although they're 18 inches now, we get part of the fade for free now.
Yeah.
So that's all right. Kind of.
Yeah, you guys are still actively in the community. Like, you guys are actually playing the, is it the 9th edition? I don't really follow a lot of the modern stuff now. But is it 9th Ed now?
We do 9th, and I've got to be honest with you, we're both struggling with it at the moment.
It's lost its
flair. Yeah, if it wasn't for the, I mean, it comes to something, and Jason and I have talked about this quite a lot. It used to be, you'd be so excited that a codex was coming out, and we're still waiting for my Eldar, my Nids, and Chaos Demons, and the God. And it's like, we're getting all these teasers with the Eldar, and generally I'm like, all right, whatever. I can't even get excited over it. And 9th has really, for us, kind of killed the mega enjoyment that we used to have. Oddly enough, 8th, I think, was a lot more fun.
Oh. Yeah, with the 8th, you had all these random cards. That's what.
Oh yeah, the Maelstrom cards. Yeah. Were just great, and the objectives could be placed randomly anywhere. Where with 9th is, and I've said this time and time again, it's set up for tournaments, which is fine if you're running a tournament. But that's why we ended up trying to play a lot of the Crusade games, because it was a lot more straightforward. You didn't have to do a lot of admin by calculating your victory points. Because when you watch some of our battle reports, you can see we can't add up when we're doing the weapon skill rolls for the second edition.
And keep you tracking what you're scoring and what you have, and that's a nightmare.
I mean, at least in the second, we worked out the victory points at the end of the battle, not as we're going through. So we find 9th a bit difficult in that respect. Yeah.
Too much admin.
It is a little bit of admin. It's too much prepping. But like I say, if you're running the tournament, it's amazing because it just helps you set everything up. So I get that. But and the meta, I think, ruins games. Because 1 minute, I enjoy using these units, but I'll only have a couple. Somewhere, someone else up the line is using about 5 or 6 of these units because they're really good in competitions. And then it all filters through the constant updates and that. And obviously, you can see we're not good on technology. And trying to keep up with everything, it's just... kills your brain, man.
Yeah, that's what we went for power rating. It's like, all your toys.
Yeah, all the toys, all the time. Yeah. Don't have to worry. Don't get upset when the points value changed on the Wraith Lord because the gun's better or something like that. We're like, not paying for it anyways. Just power rating, job done. Which is totally unbalanced anyway, especially when you get one of your Death Guard combat. It's ridiculous, man.
I've just kind of lost.
Yeah, it's. I'm hoping it. I'm kind of hoping when the codex come out, it might kick it up the backside, but then everybody talks about the codex beat and stuff like that. So we'll have to see what happens when the Elder one comes out and the Nid one and the Chaos one.
The second seems to be more fun, more.
I mean, that's unbalanced, but it's a lot more fun. It's a lot more character, I think.
Yeah,
definitely. Well, I mean, we were kind of hoping at one point something blew up and then we were hoping the turret would spin off into the distance and land on my command squad. We'd never have.
No, sorry about that.
Yeah, that would have been so funny.
But what was it that you, that brought you back? Because, you know, you guys are probably following through all the different editions of 40K and that kind of thing and playing them to your heart's content and collecting all the models and that kind of stuff. What actually brought you back to playing second edition?
Do you want to do that or should I?
I just went along with it because I'm too lazy to think about it.
I'm a big bully and I made him do it.
Yeah.
Jason, I don't like Knight for playing second. Which is pretty much it.
Yeah.
Right, the but, disgust of ninth, eh? Why'd you stop playing 8th then? Like, you enjoyed 8th edition, why'd you stop playing that?
Because we always think we should progress.
I brought nice models out, I wanted the models.
And he wanted the Necron army, because he's right. Bearded. but we always think you should progress through the editions. We always hope that each edition will be an improvement on the last one. 8th was really hard to get your head around because all of a sudden, especially like with all my Carnifex and that, what do you mean they wound on a 3? That's ridiculous. But then they're only getting wounded on a 3, so it kind of balanced out with certain weapons. But yeah, because 9th was like, ugh, and we started doing the channel, and what I noticed was we were hardly getting any hits on our 9th edition battle reports, but then there's so many out there doing it anyway, it's hardly surprising.
Yeah.
And admittedly, we had just started. But I said to Jace, I started getting, it must be because of old age, I started getting quite nostalgic over the second edition stuff.
Mm.
And I joined a second edition page on Facebook. You're in that as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, these models are amazing. I remember this game. Matt. And I said to Jace, not being funny, do you fancy doing second edition? Because there's no one out there doing, at the time, that I could find, second edition battle reports. I said, all right, we can give it a go. So we got lucky through eBay and Facebook Market. I ended up, this book was selling 3 basic rule books. The rule books, the weapons, and the Beast Vestry.
Codex Imperialis, yeah.
Yeah, all that, for a tenner. In fact, wow. he wanted £9 for it. I said, honestly, mate, I was so happy to have him. Here's a tenner. And I just drove off, and he was only around the corner.
Yeah.
So I thought that was that. And then we managed to get a box set, cheapest chips. We're missing a couple of things like the Destructor Steam of Corruption template, but we've just used a heavy flamer template for that. But it just suddenly snowballed. And we suddenly had, because we've been gaming for so long and we had done second edition away from each other, didn't know each other existed at the time. So we had a load of second edition models.
But we've never seen the light of day else because,
yeah,
there were, it's like the First Born Marines, so like, well, what's the point of taking those in? Knife, they're just going to get trashed. Now we had a whole new reason to actually start painting new old models up and actually seeing models we'd never seen at the table.
Yeah, because Jason's shelf of shame is massive.
It's not?
Yeah, it's bigger than mine. You got a garage. and it's full of unpainted stuff. But it's the fact we both said, oh my God, I'm actually excited to dig out my second edition stuff. Like Jay said, models you would never think about painting because you'd never use them in 9th is like, oh my God, I can paint these.
Yeah.
I mean, I got so excited to strip down a load of my second edition warriors from Inids and that, and then repaint with the contrast paints. So I was dead against contrast because it felt like cheating, but the results were amazing. And that's really the nostalgia rush is like heroin. It is amazing.
Yeah, you don't need loads of models in 2nd. I mean, we were about 50 models of a Marine, so you got 2,000 points. So it's like,
yeah,
painting an army up was quite quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, especially where you did it.
Yeah.
Spray it black.
It look better than yours.
It does. It's not hard, is it? We're doing an interview and you insulted my painting. I'm not even going to mention I won a painting competition.
Yeah, because everybody else dropped out.
Yeah, everybody else dropped out, yeah. Yeah,
because there was sabotage being played in there, yeah. But
yeah, so that's right. I think it's nostalgia more than anything else. Once you got into it, and you suddenly realise the rules are like really, oh my God, you've got to treat even though they're a unit, you've got to treat them as an individual model. That it's really a skirmish game, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, 3rd changed all that. That become battles then. With my stupid 12-inch open catapults.
Oh God.
There you go, man.
Sorry, yeah, Yeah, no, I like that about second edition because I played it with Paul here for the first time in like 25 years, something like that, something crazy, with my orcs and his sisters of battle. But yeah, I really enjoyed the small scale and, like you say, the skirmish element sized thing about second edition, because there's a lot going on. Even though there's only a few models on the table, there's a lot of stuff happening. Like there's a lot of charts and tables and vehicle data facts cards and, you know, the psychic phase and, you know, there's still heaps going on, but only on a very, you know, like a sort of very small scale, operations kind of thing. But the mission cards and the strategy cards just add all that extra flavor, you know, to the game, and it just makes that replayability just so much more fun.
You find though it's got a lot more character to it? I mean, you look at second edition compared to any other edition, I think it's got a lot more character. I mean, we were just talking about the Codex Chaos. It is a fantastic codex, but it's got little snippets like the fact that Terminators can't teleport because they haven't been able to maintain the technology, but they're quite happy to use plasma guns every turn, even though there's a chance of them overheating, where the Imperium like to let them cool down. You know, it's little things like that. I thought, great.
Better background,
better fluff. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, actually, Rick Priestley said in a recent interview on the Cast Dice podcast that a lot of people actually refer back to the second edition codexes for all the lore and fluff and that kind of thing, because they kind of lost it in third edition. They can't, like, I'm not a big person on knowledge of the other editions because I dropped out after second, so I don't really know much about all the other stuff. But apparently, they had these sort of pamphlet-sized, really thin kind of books that came in third edition. They sort of dropped all the lore and fluff and they just sort of went straight to the army list and that kind of thing. Well, Rick said they always referred back to the second edition ones because it had all the lore, had all the good stuff in there that sort of got lost over time. And the sales and marketing guys just said, okay, we just want something thin and, you know, we just want the gamey stuff, not the fluff and, you know, all the...
But it's the fluff, the story. Is so important.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. It really gets
the narrative of a battle.
Well, for paint, like, you know, for painting wise and army building wise, you know, like starting a whole project, you know, you want the fluff, you want the background, you need the inspiration and that kind of thing. You need the stories to really, you know, bring out that, you know, the theme or whatever it might be to your army as well. Not just the stats. The stats don't really do much for you, you know what I mean? Really want to have that.
We sweep all that. So it's like if you're a Marine player now, he would seem to be collecting the Marines just because they've got a certain rule for their chapter. Where in second, you're collecting because you either like the color blue or you like the history of Ultramarines or you like the history of the Blood Angels. There's nothing really in them that they make them much different apart from the storylines in the background, isn't it? It's nothing to do with the stat line.
Just like the Eldar Codex.
Yeah.
It's like you've got four craft worlds. But you never even thought of making your own. Well, I didn't. But you got the four craft worlds and you go for a craft world you like the color of and maybe the background story of it. And it's just, and there was no different way of playing the Elder. And the only thing that really come out different for you were the Marines, was your Blood Angels and Angels of Dark Angels, really.
Yeah, there's nothing major.
The Space World Codex was good, though.
Yeah.
That changed. That was a hard codex. Those Wolf Guard were a nightmare. Oh, just having a soap can and walk around and just shoot everything. Yeah, cheers, nice. I had a battle once. The best I did was burn out a storm shield. I got actually tight table. It was just a soap cannons everywhere. My nids, I had Dawn Raid. I got across the board, burned out a storm shield and just dustpan and brushed my models off the table. It was horrendous. They were horrible.
I love
the Space Wolves, though, but I hate fighting them. I think the fluff and the background of the Space Wolves is amazing, but it's an army I hate to fight. Vikings in space.
Just take your Dark Angels next time, mate. And when you play them,
have a word. Dark Angels. But you saying that, Dark Angels in 9th edition are horrendous. Horrendous. You charge them, they get +1 for being charged, and then the next turn they get +1 for still being in combat.
Yeah, this is what spoiled for us 9th, and it was the.
Yeah. All the buffs,
didn't make actually any sense for the army.
No, not at all. I mean, I don't know if you saw what I do like is you've got all the second edition stuff, But now, 20 or 23 plus years later, we've got all that new fluff. I mean, there is no way when second edition came out that I would have done like an Iron Craftwork themed army with loads of Wraithguard and Dreadnoughts. No way, because you never even thought that way. But then when third edition came out, you had ways you can formulate the armies, because that craft world codex, that little pamphlet that came out with the four main craft worlds and the way to use them or whatever, was great. But again, back then, you never done that. I always fielded a Ranger force, which was great with that Ranger disruption table. But then 23 years later, talking to Jason, hang on a minute, I've got a load of Wraithguard at home. I'm never going to use them, stripped them, contrasted them. Bosh, got an Iron Craftwork army. That's actually quite crazy to play with.
Yeah.
So we've been thinking about, because of all the models we've got, stripping them and then doing, like, still second edition, but using the fluff of maybe third to formulate an army. Like, because I one thing I've always wanted to do is a like a scouting elder army. So a lot of ranges. I mean, I've got like 60 of them. But you'd never field that in an army. So we're looking at 1,500 points, some rangers, scorpions, war walkers, vipers, fast moving stuff, and do it as a theme thing. And we were oddly enough talking about this tonight. Instead of keeping it all as one color, because the days for us of fielding massive armies are gone.
Yeah.
Because we used to game in a garage and you could leave it set up and stuff like that. But now we've got to think, right, the sweet spot is about 1,500 points. And I could have, with the models I got, a Beltan army full of Aspect Warriors and maybe the Avatar, a Ranger force with scouts and Vipers and Warwalkers and paint it to that craft royal colour. That'd be great.
Yeah, because I've got about three or four Marine armies I'd have to fill, or do.
Yeah, and that's not even painted.
Yeah, that's like a selfish game. Yeah, I mean, we'll do a whole scout army for
Raven Guard.
So it literally just be scout, all scouts, and one or two squads of normal Marines for about 2,000 points.
God, can you imagine how much infiltration you'd have?
Yeah, the whole army apart from two units.
Oh, I've got Dawn Raid.
But because the army, we had so big of armies, we literally split them down. Like, I've got a Salamander army, I've got basically three armies of Flesh Terrors going from second edition, from fourth upwards, and a ninth edition, all roughly 2,000, 3,000 points each.
Yeah, but your collection a lot bigger than mine.
Yeah.
Massive.
Got carried away.
You did. Quite a lot.
But yeah, it's just breaking more down, isn't it? We're basically thinking about and just doing lots of individual, proper little themed armies for the second.
So it's a case of like, if I do, it's going to be Eldar again, but it'd be painted like Samhain. So it'd be a lot of potentially vehicles and painted red and jet bikes and stuff like that. Or it could be Beltan. So I'd paint them green and have a lot of Aspect Warriors. So even though it's still only an Eldar army, the construct of the army itself will be more themed towards that craft world, where in technically second edition, that sort of information wasn't available to us at the time. So it'd be nice to use what we know now to go back and create second edition armies a lot more themed, I think.
Yeah, like an Einhand army with all Dreadnoughts.
Don't be silly. Have you got that?
Yeah.
Honestly?
Yeah.
Have you got all those Dreadnoughts?
Well, yeah, I've got three or four like, somewhere.
You were so beauty. Oh my God. Mind you, then, tell you what we might do. I've got at home, and I mean, they need stripping. Hang on. I think I've got another four corner fixes at home.
Oh, man. So really?
Yeah, so we were thinking, I'll strip them and paint them, plus a hive tyrant. I worked it out. It might have to be about 2,000 point army, but just have a load of corner fixes, hive tyrants, and to keep within the rules themselves, I'd have to have some warriors just to do the 25% broods. And then Jace will just take me on with loads of vehicles and heavy weapons and just wipe out this massive army of Carnifixes, but I wouldn't beard them up. The Carnifixes would literally have optic membranes, so they'd be like 200 points a piece. But yeah, five of them, maybe six of them. No, it'll be five of them. Five Carnifixes with a few Arcturans and Warriors running around. That'd be funny as hell.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Josh. See,
I'm giving you the. I'm feeling the inspiration there, mate. But you won't be. You won't be Dr. the Viking. I think Dr. Viking's got 9 Carnifexes. He told me the other day.
Yeah, rookie numbers, mate.
You know, so
I've got some more somewhere.
You've got some work to do there, mate. You've got some work. Get on eBay now. Definitely. You need to get 10.
You're saying that though.
Yeah.
Have you ever? Oh, what's it called? What's it called? There's a guy on the NID Facebook group called Dale Perry. And if my missus ever turned around and said, "Don't you think you got enough models?" I'm just going to show her the pictures of his collection of NIDs. It is mental. I mean, it's just frightening. He got them all out one day and put them on an 8x4 board or something, and he had no space left, and they were all base to base. And the amount of Carnifexes, the monstrous creatures got, is just like, that's ridiculous.
That's why you have a garage.
It is a massive, it is proper life goals. Huge, huge amount of models. When would you get to play it?
You wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't, would you? It still looks good. But yeah, so I mean, I've always felt I had. We used to play, we didn't, did we? But I used to play Epic, Space Marine Epic.
Mm. No, we did. We did play Epic.
Did we?
Yeah, played that a few times. We had.
Did we?
Yeah, we finally. Yeah, because we played against Bodge's Orcs. And we finally found a way of beating them, and he stopped playing it.
As in the little Epic? No.
Yeah.
But what I did is my second edition NID army, I based on the Swarm cards from Epic. So I had to have like 50 Termagaunts, 25 Formagaunts, 25 Gargles, like 25 Metal Gargles. And of course, one of the cards was 3 Carnifexes. So I thought, well, I've got to have 3 Carnifexes. So that's 3 Carnifexes.
Wow.
But then I thought, oh, I've always fancied 10. And I got to 10. But some of them were the plastic ones or later editions. But something about the Screamer Killer model, that is just, like I say, again, I think it's old age. It's nostalgia. It's just an amazingly great model.
I love that model.
We're not going to put together, but... awesome model. I think it's one of my favorite incarnations of a Carnifex.
Yep.
That Screamer Killer.
Yep. I love it. You're talking about like recreating like epic sort of like the army cards into 40K. It reminds me of the early Games Day photographs where they had people playing like the 40K second edition scaled, 28 mil scale models, but playing Epic Space Marine. So they had like the like 5 Marines on like a square base kind of thing, and they're like giant Gargans. Wow. And they had like, I think the Armor Cast did the vehicles, like all the Gargan, the Reaver Titan, all that kind of stuff. And they had a massive on the floor. They played on the floor basically on one of the games days, which was really fun.
Can you imagine that though?
Yeah, they were expensive models, those big Titans.
I always liked the Exarchs in Epic because they had a weapon skill or a close assault factor of +8, and their weapons were pretty good as well. And they had wings, so they could fly really far.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The Exarchs were great in Epic, and that was a good addition because the Wind Rider host as well. Always felt like always fancied like building one of them, so you'd have to have what 9 Vipers and 30 Jet Bikes.
I think I've got about 9 Titans in a box in the attic somewhere.
Oh, your cat is just black of the mind, isn't it? That's all I'm getting for this evening. Whatever I say, he's like, oh yeah, I got that as well.
Don't you hate those people? Don't they piss you off, those people? Yeah, I know what you mean, mate.
I only have 2 Titans,
yeah. Yeah.
I think I've got a Warlock one, but I never painted it up. I didn't get on with it. You got 2 of them. See what I mean? Oh, well, you could see. This is a video. But I said I had a Warlock Titan, and he's there waving 2 fingers at me, and the right way, not the rude way. Then he's got 2 Warlocks. Yeah, I only had them.
Yeah, I got quite a big out there, aren't
you? I don't think I could get into Epic again. That'd be a nightmare.
I've still got Epic Squat models on the sprues. Epic.
I love Epic, mate. Love it. We still play it. We play it now. Brilliant.
Yeah, I noticed that, and I like the fact that what I thought was really cool is you use some of your rock formations from your 40K games, and they're like little rock spires. But suddenly, when you put that same terrain on your epic board, it's suddenly massive rock formations. They look really good.
I like epic, but
don't we can't.
Oh no!
Oh, you can, you can. Please do. Do Epic as well. Oh, you got to bring Epic to the channel, guys. Got to do it because no. It's one of the greatest games ever. And look, you can find a bargain on eBay. I'm sure if you go to Jason's Garage, you'll find a whole host of different armies in there, mate. You just scrounge around through there, all unpainted, of course, but you can drag those out, contrast them up, and you have that on the table, you know, in no time.
If I go to Jason's Garage, I'd have to leave a breadcrumbs so I can find my way back out.
Or you'll never make it out of there. Maybe you'll never make it out of there.
No, I wouldn't. It wouldn't. You do realise that when you die, you cannot go to heaven until you paint all your models.
I ain't going to be dying in heaven.
You'll be in purgatory with a paintbrush and dry paint.
I think you need... What would be a good idea, Jason, is maybe just do a video on your garage, your collection. Just take your camera in there, mate. And just film all the stuff you've got in there. That'd be awesome.
Too many tears, mate.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
My kids will see how much models I've got and they'll try and flog them.
Oh, yeah, good boy, yeah. Because his missus doesn't know anything about it.
Ah.
She's not going to
I told her I've been buried with them.
It's amazing how many models in that garage are potentially mine. Because he's turned around to his missus and I'll keep an ear here for Richard and his missus don't find out.
The best thing is you bring a box out every now and then and you tell her, I've had this one for ages. I just haven't opened it up yet. And she doesn't realise.
It's funny that my place at work are like, Richard, you get a lot of boxes. Why don't you take them home? You'll be daft. I'll take them on one box at a time.
Yeah.
Strong controlling women, that's the one.
The Epic Replay was for the cards. Then when they brought out the fallen version, it was the with the dice. I think they do like order dice, didn't they? Changed the order.
Oh,
dice.
No, that was third edition. That was a terrible edition.
Yeah.
When you had to combine your that was basically the same as Battlefleet Gothic, where you had to combine your firepower and then that told you how many dice you got to throw.
Yeah.
Armageddon, I think.
Yeah.
Second edition Epic or Space Marine, I think. Yeah, it's called Space Marine.
Yeah.
That was good. I mean, I've still got the Elder and Chaos codex. And I think I've got the Hive Mind one. That was a great codex.
Oh man, that's worth an absolute fortune. That thing rare. Yeah.
Have you got that?
No, I don't, because it's so rare to get a complete set now. It's very rare. Because it was the last thing that they released, I think, before they closed up.
Well, the Hive Mind.
Hive mind set. Yeah, if you have a complete set of hive minds, it's very rare. So hold on to that with dear life because restore it and whatever.
I lost my titans.
No, you didn't lose them. What did you do with them? You melted them down.
I did.
Yeah, because I got the squat box set and the chaos. And the renegade one, the chaos one.
Yeah, chaos renegade one.
Yeah, and
the squat one. Chaos in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the bloodthirst now. See, this is what I think, right? Sorry, I'm going off on one. The bloodthirsters in Space Marine were great. The bloodthirsters with the profile in second edition are great, but the models never really done them justice. Compared to the bloodthirster models we got now, it's like those models match the profile of second edition, but they don't really match. Because bloodthirsters don't last 2 minutes in a 9th edition game, right?
Oh, really?
But the models really reflect the profile of 2nd edition now, because they were hard as nails.
Yeah.
Weapon skills are like 10 or whatever. It's ridiculous.
It's all 10 across the board, I think, with the bloodthirsters and those editions. Yeah, the hero editions, yeah.
Bloodthirsters just don't last very long. You see them and you're thinking, wow. I would see a bloodthirster opposite me and be like, how am I going to take that out? But you see these people playing 9th edition, and they're like, all right, I'll just shoot it off the board with this. And the thing just disappears, and they're like, that's not right. Big, scary monster like that should take a phenomenal amount of firepower before it's taken out. Or you don't want to get into combat. Because, I mean, you look at, like you say, you don't play 9th. But you look at some of the battle reports that you watch on other channels and that, and things like Carnifex are scary in 2nd. No one bothers taking them.
No, I take that.
And everybody takes now because of the way the game is. I mean, you could say it's evolving, the hive mind's evolving or whatever, but no one takes combat nid armies. It's all Cronus and it's all hive guards, it's all Xanthropes, and it's all shooting. And I'm thinking, what happened
where
you have to be a shooting army for a nid to win a game?
Yeah.
That's you weird. Should be scared to be in combat with the NID Army, but no one is. And no one charges with them.
I did that with eight for the orcs, didn't I? I took shooty orcs, not combat orcs.
Mm. Yeah, but you could take shooty orcs because your average dice roll were better than someone with a bolt skill of three.
Yeah, that's true.
You needed fives to hit, and he was averaging out as if he was needing fours to hit. It was ridiculous. Honestly, mate, he took an orc army as a shooting army and took an Imperial Guard army, Kachachan, as a close assault army. He used to run up with his...
No, he's a 10-man in the Crimea, right?
Yeah, with a demolition charge. Yeah, he used to come forward and hear a catch and blow troops off the board. You just had it the wrong way around, man, but somehow you won. You have to dig out your orcs, man.
Yeah, we'll actually, yeah. It was 7th I played him in. I never played him in 8.
Yeah, but now you've got the orc codex for 9.
Yeah.
But that's the problem. This is really weird. We talked about this tonight. Is we're very lucky that we've been gaming for so long and we've managed to keep a lot of our second edition models. But there's some armies you just cannot buy because they're either too expensive or you can't see them on the internet, on eBay or anything like that. Mm. And it's like demon armies. In the back of the Codex Chaos book, there's a demon army.
Yeah.
You try and buy a second edition demon army, you'd have to remortgage your house.
Yeah.
So we will field a demon army. I want to field a demon army, but it's going to have to be with current models.
Mm.
And that's a fine line, I think. A lot of people like to be proper nostalgic, go down the proper route, proper terrain, proper models if you can. That's fine, but it's like, which is better? Oh, all right, playing the real models, or the proper models with the rules, or I'd still rather see someone play second edition with their current models.
Mm.
Yeah, because we're saying, the cultists winning, the cultists army in there.
Yeah,
where I can mix all, lost and down, didn't it? Yeah, mix all the guard tanks up and use all the last edition of Chaos cultists that I've got a stupid amount of.
Because I could do my Iden Craft World army, but use the modern Wraith Guard units and arm them properly so they've all got Wraith cannons, and then arm the Wraith Lords or Elder Dreadnoughts. You wouldn't bother giving them the sword, and you'd just give them the one heavy weapon on their shoulder. So you could still arm your current models or the current range to fit second edition. But, and I think people should do that. If they want to play second edition, just play with what you got. Tweak the rules a little bit. If you can't have this proper second edition models, then just play with what you got.
Yeah, because doing an orc army, we worked out, God, that was going to be expensive.
That's horrendous.
Yeah. When you're looking at 5-10 quid standard orc, it was like,
I mean, I got lucky, and a mate of ours stopped gaming. So he was quite happy to sell some of his orcs at sort of mate's rates. And that's why we ended up with an orc army.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in Canada, he's flying over to the UK. And he posted on the second edition Facebook group. And he's I managed to acquire some of those models as well. So
nice.
I should get them next week. Because he said he'd fly over and then post from the UK to save on postage.
Right.
So that's great. So we've managed to acquire some more Boar Boys. Original Rogue Trader Jump Packers.
Oh, and the Scorcher.
The twin. Oh, you got a Scorcher, didn't you?
Rogue Trader Scorcher.
Yeah, so the orc army will get fleshed out. But the biggest problem we've got now is painting. It's finding time to paint. We've got loads of models, no time to paint. And I ain't the fastest painter in the world either. Don't even go standards. Like, see on the tip of your tongue. But Jace is a faster painter than me. Because he's not very good.
How many scorches you got? Sorry, how many scorches you got now?
Two? I got one. You got two scorches.
I got four, so I win.
Oh.
I had to win at something, guys. Come on, I had to play this game now. I've got to play this game. I've got to win at something, and that's something I can win at. Four scorches.
Four scorches. That's great. That is cool.
How many war buggies you got? How many war buggies you got?
You got to field them in a squad, didn't you? You got to field them in a squadron.
Yeah, I've got to fill up in the squadron. Yeah, when I've got one painted, and then I'll eventually get the other ones painted at some point. But yeah,
No, you're like
awesome, mate. Yeah, you're gonna have fun with those. They're brilliant. Yeah, I played Imperial Guard last game. I tried my Scorcher and yeah, had a field day. It was like all the Imperial Guardsmen lined up in the hill, and they've all got scorched and fried to a crisp. So that was lovely.
Oh, wow, nice. So,
yeah, on their day they can be absolutely deadly. So you've got two of those, run them up on the flanks, and yeah, they'll be causing all kinds of havoc. So
yeah, definitely. Lovely. We got, I think we're missing the front wheel of a war truck.
Oh really?
With the last cannon on the back of it.
Oh yeah, Trike.
Yeah. Something. But Jace played Gorgomorka.
Yeah.
And then we found out that Gorgomorka come out roughly near the end of second edition.
Yeah.
So the trucks he's got,
are
viable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the Orc army is going to get very mobile. I've got some commandos. I mean, the game we did with the Orcs at the end of October, we are commandos, but that was only the half of them, but the rest needs stripping and repainting. So we can have a massive boar boys charge. Got some jump packers now, commandos. So half the Orcs will be across the board before you know it.
They've got loads of spikes because all the Gorkamorka bikes were the plastic ones, what were second edition.
What, with the Orc hands on the back?
Orc hands on the sides.
On the sides,
yeah.
Are they second edition?
Yeah, they're second edition.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, my God, that's amazing.
And also, all those vehicles are actually available in plastic in second edition, late second edition or mid-second edition. They had the, what's it called? The attack bike or the knobs bike or whatever it's called in plastic. They had the Scorcher in plastic and the War Buggy in plastic. So,
yeah.
I mean, if the metal ones are just unattainable price-wise or whatever, you can probably find them in plastic somewhere for relatively good prices, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd be interested then.
So and they look nice though, mate. They look nice to paint up. Like the old metal ones, I mean, yeah, of course they're classic, they're Rogue Trader, but during the course of time and during the molding processes and during those days, they didn't come up all that nice and crisp and, easy to paint. So the plastic ones do have that benefit that they're really nicely molded and, they're really smooth and all the details are very clear.
They look small as well, and they're really small.
But we tried to be, especially with second, as authentic as we can.
Yeah, I noticed that. I like that. I respect that.
I've got a load of Rogue Trader models. I mean, I absolutely love the original Elder Dreadnoughts, the Rogue Trader ones. But the two I painted up for my Island Craft World are proper second edition. But there's something about when that White Dwarf came out. I think it's White Dwarf 100, and they had the three dreadnoughts, the Banshee, the Warcry, and the War Demon.
Yeah.
They were just amazing. And I've got five of them, and three of them are still in a plastic bag, which needs to be painted. But I thought, I've got to find a reason to paint them because you're trying to be authentic. And the Rogue Traders, I mean, the Rogue Trader Eldar, I'm thinking of using, finding an excuse to paint them and just fielding them as a 10-man unit of pirates because they look different to the Craft World Elder sort of thing. So because they're different, I reckon I'll get away with fielding them as a pirate unit.
You're such a nightmare with the Death Guard. No way before we get a Death Guard second edition armor.
No, they're ridiculously expensive.
Used Forge World ones.
Yeah, the last, the battle report we've done tonight, Jay said, "Is they're all Forge World, aren't they?
Yeah, all but Typhus. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But that's the thing. How many? There was 35 models on them.
Yeah,
1500 points, 35 models. It's crazy when you think about it. And it was still a hard fought game as well.
Yeah,
but that was scary.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing that. So when will the latest battle report be up? Do you think?
In about, I'll go home and go to sleep. That's all right.
No work, goddammit. I want to see that video now.
I would say, honestly, late afternoon today, which will be probably early morning for you.
No, that's cool, mate. That's great.
You'll probably see it, well, for you, maybe Monday morning.
Yep, perfect. Sounds cool. Possibly. We'll look forward to that.
Yeah, because I'll go on. Yes, and all I tend to do is just link all the videos together on my phone, let it upload, then upload it to YouTube. So we don't really do a lot.
Yeah.
Don't. I mean, we did get a little bit crazy and treat ourselves to some lights, which is a bit better. So the lighting's a bit better. But yeah, that's about it. It's all done on my mobile, and this is why when we're talking to the camera, it's all mirrored.
Yeah.
So all the writing on our T-shirts or whatever is mirrored because I've just got on a selfie mode.
Yeah.
You know, technology, Josh.
Anyway, guys, we're going to have to wrap it up today. I'm really sorry, but I mean, it's like almost like 1 a.m. in the morning there for you guys, and my wife has to go to work. So I'm going to have to, unfortunately, cut our interview a little bit short. But I think we did it for about an hour, so that's really good and great for you guys to have that time to share with us today. So I really appreciate that, guys. I know it's really early in the morning, and you guys want to get home and get to sleep and start editing that battle report.
We don't. We go over and we're just buzzing.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, no, that's good, guys. That's excellent. So I really, really appreciate your time today for both of you.
That's brilliant. Thanks for the chat, Josh.
Anytime you want to come on, we'll love to have you. So,
I appreciate that, mate.
Enjoy. Well,
will you look after yourself?
Yeah, you too. You guys too? Yeah.
And, yeah, we're doing, mate.
And we'll
no doubt chat or messenger or whatever, but yeah, you look out
for sure. We'll keep in touch for sure. So, Jason, Richard, thank you very much again.
You got your name right.
Yeah, I did. I'm Jazz. Remember, I'm Jazz. Okay, guys, take care. Mate. Thanks very much. See you later. Bye bye. Take care.
Bye.